Thank you, Deborah. Our next speaker will be Dr. Paula Tavro from UCLA School of Public Health. Would consumers favor making the workplace safer for adult film performers?
Thanks to everyone for being here. Research that I'm going to present is a full collaboration of the Reproductive Health Interest Group at UCLA, and some of the members I know are in this room. In fact, I was just hoping that all the current or past members of RIG could just raise your hands. So you see a lot of UCLA graduate students have been involved in this effort, and will stay involved until, I hope, until we see some improvement in what's happening. And I don't think any of us have any financial ties to the industry. I certainly do not. So why did we do this study about consumers? And it was because we realized that so little is known about the knowledge, attitudes, preferences of consumers. So we thought that was a contribution that UCLA could make. And we had a question, which was whether better informed consumers were more likely to favor legislation to require condom use and in this industry and make it safer. So that was sort of a question we had, whether health education could play a role. Oops, sorry. So the way we did this was that we developed a web-based survey, and XBiz, which is an industry website, kindly agreed to post the survey and to advertise it. And it was also publicized through XFans, which is another industry website. Also, David Pounder Productions, he's a director. And other people picked it up and started publicizing it for us. The time frame was that the survey was available on this website was from April 4th through September 21st, 2007. So it ran for, I think that's about 6 months. And altogether, we got 324 respondents, but we discarded three of them because they were underage. So we end up with 321. So just quickly, these are some of the characteristics of the respondents. And I think that they do pretty much probably represent consumers in the sense of it looks like similar demographics to what we would expect and have seen in some other sorts of things. So for instance, 82% reported they were male. We had an age range of 18 to 74 with average of 34 years of age. We found that 93% of them who responded were in the United States, U.S. residents. So we did get about 7% from overseas. And of those, of the total, 34% were here in California. Educational level, maybe a little bit higher than the, or is higher than the education of this country, but may again represent real consumers. We don't know. What we found was that when we asked them about the number of films that they'd seen in 2006, we had 11% had seen none. The majority had seen somewhere between 1 and 50, so you can see 63% had seen between 1 and 50. And we did have about a quarter of them who had seen more than 51 films or 50 or more in 1 year. So they are really avid consumers. The amount that they spent on films, a good chunk of people are able to spend nothing on films, maybe because somebody else has paid or because there's a lot of free stuff now available or clips or things on the web. We found, though, that there were about 27% who spent $100 or more in 2006 on films. And when it came to their viewing preference, we found that three quarters, in other words, 77%, said that they only watched heterosexual films. We found 8% said they only watched gay films, and 8% watched a combination, 7% said they never watched. For some of the analysis, we'll remove those who say they never watch films. But this is important to remember because we do think that those people who are seeing gay-only films or mixed films are seeing condoms in the film since, you know, there's estimates of maybe 66 to 85% of those films are showing condoms. Versus if you're only watching heterosexual films, then your chances of seeing condoms in use are much reduced, maybe, or you may not see them at all. So when we wanted to know the knowledge of these consumers, what we found was that two-thirds of them did think that performers were at risk of getting STIs. But then those who appreciated that you can get a sexually transmitted infection from ejaculate into the face sank now to 49%. Those who realize that STI testing doesn't actually protect people in the industry from picking up disease, as you saw from Dr. Goldstein's presentation, only a third recognized that. When we asked them if they felt that producers were doing all that they could to reduce risk, only 25%, only one in four consumers, thought that producers could be doing more. So that was pretty significant to us. And then when we asked whether they felt that they knew that STI tests were voluntary, not required, we found only 7% appreciated that they were not required. So there was a considerable amount of ignorance in the consuming population. Now let's look to some of the big picture about their preferences. So we wanted to appreciate if they had a preference for what they saw in films. Interestingly enough, we did find that 8% reported that they prefer seeing condoms in films. For 38%, it didn't matter, but 54% said that they don't want to be seeing condoms. We also asked them if condoms were used but you couldn't see them, would that reduce your enjoyment? So for instance, if transparent condoms were used, or if condoms were digitally removed post-production, which we know is possible with current technology, would that reduce your enjoyment? And we found then 77% said it would not reduce their enjoyment. They'd be fine with that. About 8% said they didn't know. And we found that very tiny amounts, only about 15%, said it would reduce it fully or totally or somewhat. So we can really see that if we're able to employ new technology, the consumer would have no problem with that. Would you be willing to pay more for films using condoms? Here, it's pretty clear that they would not be willing to pay more. So they don't want the cost of adult film to go up. And only 9% said that they might be willing to pay more, 13% said maybe, but you can really see that this is where they don't feel that the burden should be borne by the consumer. Is it a turnoff to you to see condoms in an adult film? And it was interesting, so even though their preference might be to not see condoms, we found that only 21% said, yes, it's a total turnoff to see condoms in films. 29% said somewhat, but there was a good amount who said that, no, it wasn't a turnoff. And what we wanted to know was, what were the predictors of that? People who felt it was a turnoff to see condoms in films. So what we did is that we removed those people who never watch films, that 6 or 7%. Then we ran a logistic regression on this. And what we found was that those who said that they were more likely not to be turned off by watching condoms were those first who watched mixed films. So that was the most important predictor. In other words, the inverse of that they watched hetero films only. So those who watched other things as well or watched gay only, they were likely not to be turned off. So it does seem that exposure to condoms in films probably affects people. It also seemed that the older viewer was less likely to be turned off to watching condoms, so it may be more of a younger viewer issue. And also those who are not big spenders. The big spenders did seem to be more likely to not want to see condoms in films. But the smaller spenders and so on didn't have a problem with it. Now we wanted to know about if you would support legislation to mandate condom use in films. We split this out by those people who resided outside of California and those who were within California. We found that 63% would not support legislation to mandate condom use outside of California, but we did have 20% who said they would and 17% who said they didn't know. But right here in California, where there has been a bit more publicity and so on this issue, we found already that a significant difference, that only 52% said that they would not support it. We had 29% who said they would, and we had 19% who said that they didn't know. And what's important to recognize is that the respondents were not told whether they would actually see condoms or not. This is just if they would support this kind of legislation. So it does look like there's some shift occurring here in California. So then we wanted to understand, well, what were the predictors of whether someone would support legislation to mandate condom use? And what we found, again, that those most likely to support legislation were people who had watched mixed films, including those who, or those who watch gay-only films. Those who are female, so women are more likely to support this, and that's important because women are also the ones more at risk. There's more of them in the population, but they are a smaller part of the viewing audience. Those who are not a big spender, and what did come in as significant was that they know the risks to performers. So what we had done is we had taken all of our knowledge questions, we had developed an index, and we used that in our regression analysis. And what we found was that it was significant that the knowledge, if you had a knowledge about the risks, then you were more likely to support legislation. So it does indicate that there is a role for health education. What were the limitations of the study? Just very quickly, it was a convenient sample. We don't know how many of these respondents were connected to the adult film industry, so it may have biased the results because, generally speaking, people in the industry are opposed to regulation. So it's possible that this may be an undercount. We also think that we might have had more consumers saying that they would support legislation to mandate condom use if they were told that they would not necessarily see condoms in the films because of post-production techniques and so on. So again, that might be an undercount. We may have more support than the study shows. But as I said, already we're seeing there is considerable support, maybe about half the population for this, or half the consumers potentially might support legislation. So what are our conclusions? First, it does look like being exposed to condoms in films makes a consumer less turned off to them, more inclined to support condom legislation. The implication of that would be that more familiarity would lessen opposition. So those film companies who are putting condoms in films, by doing that, may lessen opposition. It also seems that many consumers are ignorant about the risks to performers, and that knowing the risks appears to make them more supportive of legislation. So that would indicate that increased consumer knowledge would be valuable. It does look like women and consumers spending less on adult films are more likely to support condom legislation, which the implication is, and this is important for people who are interested in legislation, is that the men who pay more for porn, the deeper pockets, may be the most oppositional, or most opposed, in other words, to legislation. And lastly, consumers do not want to pay more for condom use. That was a very clear finding. But they do not seem to have a problem with filmmakers using condoms if they cannot see them in the final product. You saw the vast majority, no problem if they don't see it. And so this does imply that the costs would probably have to be borne by producers if they didn't want to lower consumption. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to ask the panelists to come up, speakers come up, and we have time to take any questions. If you could go to the microphone and identify yourself, anyone who has any questions. We also have another guest. Do you have a question in the back? Jane, do you want to respond to that?
Sure. I work with the folks at the STD program. We actually attempted to contact Coyote, and there wasn't a lot of initial interest expressed. There have been some trafficking and sexual slavery groups that we've interfaced with that may be of interest as well.
Actually, we've tried to reach out to basically anyone who might have an interest in this, including SCAG, the Screen Actors Guild, the SEIU, but it's been difficult. A population with a lot of transients and, a lot of people initially are very uncomfortable with this topic for reasons. But once they really understand what are the health risks, that it is a legal industry, that there really are no protections, the vulnerability, There are no residuals paid to any of these performers for their work. There's no health insurance. Anyone who's injured has no workers' compensation rights currently. You know, there's really no advocates for this out there, and we've reached out to as many groups as we can to kind of educate them and identify persons who may be concerned. That's why we're here with the occupational health and safety. And in effect, I mean, as John Ward at CDC, who was involved in the early days of the HIV epidemic, said to me, he said, this is the last group of individuals that are at great risk to HIV infection for which there has been no outcry, no advocacy, no work being done to protect those in this industry.
That is true. I found in interviewing people and in the surveys that people have multiple roles. I don't think there's any data on that. I could guess that no, but I don't know. I can't give you real data on whether. I mean, I surmise that there are if there was a female director, would they be more likely to use condoms? I don't know that that really bears out, but there's no data. So we don't know. Yeah.
The other question that I have deals with the clinics that are set up for the performers. Do they just provide services in terms of testing? Do they provide other services?
Did everybody hear the question? Okay, the first question related to those who are performers who basically go from being an actor to becoming a producer, director. Does that tend to make it more safe? And I would say that the people that stay in the industry tend to move in that direction because that's where the money is made, because it's not with what's the residuals that are, there's no residuals, there's nothing paid to workers beyond the specific shoot. And I would say we don't know, but it doesn't look like it from what we see. I mean, this is sort of business as usual, and it's filming of adult film without condoms. And then your second question was, the clinics. It was adult film industry, Sharon Mitchell, who really stepped up at the 1998 outbreak and began offering the ultra-sensitive viral load test, the PCR RNA, and basically once a month, thinking that would prevent most of the infections, but it's really clear that screening alone does not. We basically offered our public health lab to provide chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis testing, and then basically we saw this huge burden of disease in that population. But what we aren't looking for is herpes, HPV, all of the oral fecal pathogens that we know are workers in this industry are exposed to and probably contracting, but it has not yet been quantified. The best way to protect people would be through medical monitoring with treating of the treatable STDs and then barrier protections from the chronic viral untreatable STDs.
There are, yeah, it depends on, so some of them are very much satellite places where people just go and drop off, get their blood drawn and just a phlebotomy center and get a urine test for GC chlamydia, is my understanding. There is a main clinic that offers things like alcoholic and not referrals to mental health counseling, Alcoholics Anonymous, pap smears, all that kind of stuff. I don't know how often I've heard mixed reviews about the services and how really supportive they are, but there are other things. And they do give the Porn 101 video out, which is education around, the industry.
But a review of that found that it doesn't really meet the standard for worker education of Cal OSHA. I'd like to introduce, we have with us another guest, Darren James, who is an adult film performer and wasn't involved in the 2004 outbreak. So he just, we're very fortunate to have him here, to have his view on it from really the side and perspective of the performer. So I'd like to welcome Darren to the group. Thank you.
Thank everybody for coming. You gotta excuse me, I'm a little nervous. It's the first time I actually talk to the public since everything happened. So I'm kind of fumbling with words because you know, I was devastated when it first all went down because you know, I was one of the hardest working actors in the business. I was hidden mostly because they kept me busy in Europe or all over the country. But just stating that everybody that was affected by this, especially the women, I apologized to them. I was just devastated because they were friends of mine. And when the media got a hold of it, they just ripped me apart. They dragged me to the coals. You know, the first day I found out, it's on the news. And my life was over, period. You know, I thought I was doing the right thing in the industry. I did what they told me to do. I made a lot of money. I worked. Next thing you know, upside down. And I couldn't even walk down the street. You know, I wanted to stick a gun in my mouth the first day. Ended. It was brutal. You wouldn't even understand. Nobody in this room can understand what I went through, what I'm going through. And every day I kind of have to pay that price. But at least now I'm slowly coming out. I want to talk to people. You know, you gotta excuse me today. I really don't know the technical information. These guys are totally right. This industry has a problem. You know, when I worked, a lot of people you might meet really didn't work like I did. I worked a lot. And a lot of us, you know, we just thought we were doing the right thing. And you take the test, you think, wow, we're safe. It just doesn't work like that. Condoms have to be in this industry, period. Those ifs, ands, or buts, because the STDs were out of control. They changed over the years. It was brutal. But just get down to it. I'm just a normal guy. I did my job, you know, and I'm paying the price every day. And I just wish hopefully some of it I can put out on you guys to help you guys down the road, because that industry is very secretive. You know, it's a lot of stuff you don't know. And I hope I can get it out there. You can understand it a little bit better, you know, because there's some good people in there. It's just that if you open your mouth, you're going to have a problem down the road. And I'm going through that right now. I lost jobs, people sending packages to my jobs, telling them who I was. I'm gone, I'm fired. And now it's getting out with these guys helped me. You know, it's kind of, you know, at least I got a chance, you know. I'm still a normal guy. I feel healthy. You know, I work out and still do the same things. But I just don't work in that environment no more. You know, I'm coming to the normal life. You know, because years ago I was from the military, law enforcement, porno. I became a big porn actor. You know, I didn't want it, but hey, it paid well. I was one of the few actors that got a lot of money and thought, wow, I can make it out of this. You know, I got my test every day. I was working out, and you get that call. Whoa, it was done that quick. And everybody jumped on the dog pile. And just everywhere I went, my picture was on TV. I was the devil, period. And I just wish you guys really listen to what they're saying. It's a lot of good information. I'm just learning this too, you know, but it's really hard for me to get out where it's like a witch hunt, you know. And, you know, I'm really not good with speeches, but I'd like to thank all you guys, you know, for at least listening to me right now. This is my first step to kind of get out. So.
Darren, you want to join us on the panel? Thank you. Thank you very much for your comments. Darren, I think, is an example of someone who did everything he thought he needed to do, everything he was told he should do to protect himself and the people he worked with, and that turned out not to be the case. Yes, yes. Deborah, do you want to answer the first question, and maybe Karita could answer the second?
Okay, so first off, I don't think I tried to characterize college's regulations as impotent. if there were, it depends how the legislation worked. If the legislation gives jurisdiction to an agency of California, whatever agency it is, independent of employer-employee relationship, then it will have a broader impact if there were legislation. So that I think what you have to look at is not just requiring condom use, and certainly I can't speak for the governor about legislation, let me make that very clear. But if they're going to require condom use, they're going to have an enforcement mechanism. And otherwise, you're right, it's not going to have an impact.
And that was not meant as a disrespect.
That's okay.
And then when you have show games, when you have people changing their names, moving around, how can you possibly make a difference?
One way that we think you could is all of these production companies must have a custodian of record. So you could make Cal OSHA's job a whole lot easier if you were required for every video, every production that they sold, put out in the market, they would have to maintain those records made available to Cal OSHA and Public Health for inspection that documented that the production was made with condoms and that those who are had sexual contact had been medically monitored. So,
but
I think.
Tattoo parlor regulations and bifurcate and give some enforcement to the local health authority and some enforcement to Cal OSHA. But if you want to use Cal OSHA, then you need to define people as employees. And if they were to take that step, which might very well be opposed by our agency in the legislature, but if you were to take that step, as they did with volunteer firefighters, for example, volunteer firefighters come under Cal OSHA regulations because the legislature said they did. So it's up to the legislature as to whether they'll create a more effective enforcement scheme, which could be done through any number of, like farm labor contractors are regulated by the Division of Labor Standards Enforcement, and they have to get a permit to do that business under the division. So it really depends on what kind of enforcement scheme the legislature sees fit to establish, if they do.
Okay.
I think he had a second question, and I'll just comment very briefly, but when comparing the legislation in Nevada, in the brothels where condoms are required, there's been a couple articles published in the American Journal of Health, and the rates of condom use are very, very high. And I think it's for two reasons. Number one, it's the general public that's getting exposed, and that's a completely different scenario than the adult film industry. Unfortunately, people don't care about this group of people, but we care about ourselves. So that's the sad part. And so I think it's going to have to be completely different. And I think that's why it works so well. And these people are confined to a specific space and home. And I know people that have worked there, and you go there and you have a waiting period as well where they literally don't leave. I mean, it's almost like a jail. So that's completely different. And that's why it works so well. But anyway.
And there's been no documented transmission of HIV in that setting. Next. I think you get the full range of responses that, you know, some people say they prefer to work without condoms. Some people say they want the playing field level so that everyone is able to, you know, have the same, you know, many of these people, if they don't accept non-condom work, if they don't engage in anal work, there is no work. In fact, one of the persons in the 204 outbreak was told that by her agent that the shoot was going to be with condoms and it was going to be without anal exposures. She got to the set, it was told it was anal, no condoms, take it or leave it. She had a $4,000 visa bill and decided to worked one shoot one time, and and became infected. So I think you'll hear a range of activities, but basically there's no, they aren't able to control their work environment.
We do yeah. have a question on that. I asked that to everyone during the qualitative interviews. I got a variety of responses. We do ask that in our survey. Not all of the women, I was surprised, are supportive of condom use, but getting at why that is that's a loaded question, what they want, because you're talking about a group of people that often when you ask, this is why we're also asking about STD knowledge and HIV knowledge questions, because there's this perception that the testing is enough. And I mean, that's what Darren was saying. And so, you know, if you think the testing is enough, why would you be supportive of that? I mean, yeah. it's a loaded question. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And I think I just phrased it because yeah. I feel like, you know, the message that's come out in the different presentations is that in general, the larger population doesn't care about this community of workers.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's important to highlight their voices about what they want in their working conditions so that we don't render them in this space voiceless again.
Exactly. Can you speak up a little bit, Darren? Or you can come to the microphone.
I say back in the late 90s, there wasn't a lot of actors. I was one of the first ones that they got hired. So performance was very poor. I mean, like, they're very limited. It's hard to trust a new guy, and you got a lot of money.